Good morning and welcome to each one. Welcome to those locally and to those from afar. Whatever age you're at and no matter how long it's been since you've been here, welcome. The house is nicely filled this morning and we thank God for the blessing of time and the blessing of healing and of religious freedom and etc. This morning you may turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I like to take a message from this passage. The title this morning is A Good Soldier of Jesus Christ. My text verse is found in 2 Timothy 2, 3b. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I want to give you just a little bit of background on this passage. Paul is writing to Timothy. I believe he was sitting in prison at this time. He was arrested for being a follower of Jesus Christ. Paul likely knew that he was getting close to his time when he was going to be executed or move on in life. And Paul was concerned that the torch would be passed down to Timothy and on to others. Timothy was a young man who received the calling of the ministry. And Paul is writing here to pass encouragement to Timothy to be faithful warrior of Christ in spite of the hardships and the difficulties that he was going to encounter. Prior to this chapter, we see Paul calling to remembrance Timothy's grandmother and his mother's faithfulness. He also encourages Timothy to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, along with admonishing him to stir up the gift that was within him, and to hold fast to sound form of words that he had been taught. Paul ends chapter 1 with speaking of men who opposed his ministry and those who helped his ministry. And I believe Paul recognized the help that one could receive from a good influence, but also the hindrance that it can be to someone's life when they receive opposition or negative influence. In chapter 2, Paul begins with, "Therefore, my son, be strong." And this is both speaking of a personal relationship, referring to my son, and admonishment to be to faithfulness because of or despite of past influence or experience. In other words, whether your past influence was good or whether it was bad, I want you to be faithful. I want you to get my heart cry, what I'm going to try to teach you this morning. And then Paul goes on to give various directives to Timothy relating to being a good soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. He makes an analogy of physical combat to illustrate the energy that needs to be exerted to win a spiritual combat. And this morning, all of us are under Christian teaching. And many of us consider ourselves Christians. We are in a combat. Satan is trying to defeat us. He's trying to give opposition to us. He's trying to entice us. And Paul writes this chapter to reveal to us that we can be victorious. But he challenges us to faithfulness. We can be victors in the spiritual battle and obtain salvation with eternal glory. And so this morning, the question I'd like to ask is, will you be a good soldier for Jesus Christ? I want you to think about that. I'd like to read this passage. I'm not sure where to start and stop, but I guess I'll just read till verse 15, beginning at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partakers of his fruits. Consider what I say, and give thee understanding, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sakes, that they may also obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I like to give 7 marks of a good soldier. I have 7 quotes directly from the Bible that I would like to consider. Number 1, a good soldier is strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to be strong this morning? What does that mean to you? Strong means to be invested with power. In military terms, strength is dependent on ability, on technology, or muscle power. Spiritual warfare is dependent on personal choice and Christ. Or we could say, by being invested with the power of Christ. This morning, are you invested with the power of Christ? Is that in your life? Paul didn't want Timothy to recant under the pressure and the temptations of life. And in warfare, there is always the possibility to be a loser. You want to be a loser this morning? I hope not. I don't think any of us want to be losers, do we? And as you look back in history, you can see how strong nations have physically fought against each other. And there's 2 things that happen, at least 2 things. One is they often weaken themselves and they defeat the other person. Well, Paul encourages Timothy to be strong in the grace of Christ because it is a surety for success.
you know, being a good warrior here doesn't weaken yourself. Oftentimes, there's many people who die in the battle, even though they might, quote, come out as victors. But the Christian life, you don't die by becoming a good soldier, as it were. You might die to yourself, but you become a success for the Lord. And we don't need to fear losing if we have the power of Christ in our life. And that is why we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And so I asked the question, how can we be invested with the power of Christ? Is that possible? I believe this verse could speak of a connection and a relationship with God. My son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And this morning we could talk about repentance and surrender to the Lord Jesus. We could talk about the cleansing work that God does in our life. We could talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that comes upon a Christian believer, the power he receives. We could talk about communication with God and through prayer. We could talk about following the directives of the Word of God. What do those things do for us? Well, they help make us strong, right? Sure. They're all a part of being strong in the grace of Christ. And so I asked a question this morning. Are you a good soldier? Are you a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus? Are you prepared for combat this morning? Will you stand against the negative influences? Even Timothy faced that, and Paul was trying to address that. I have a quote. I don't know where it came from. Physical combat depends on the ability of oneself, but spiritual combat is dependent on the grace of another, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see there's a little difference, or a big difference, between physical combat and spiritual combat. Strong in the grace that is in Christ. Number two, a good soldier commits what he hears to faithful men. And there's at least two different aspects to this point. How can you commit and entrust something to someone else? Well, first of all, you need to listen, right? You need to hear it. See, there's a listening part, and there's a committing and entrusting. In order to properly entrust someone with responsibility, the person will need to have learned the ropes of the assignment. And so this morning, I'd like to suggest that listening is an important mark for being a good soldier, for his well-being, and also for those he will tutor. And I want you to imagine with me the devastation of a battle if a soldier paid no attention to his captain's orders. It wouldn't work very well. I'm afraid the success would be limited. I'm afraid there would be defeat. Well, Timothy here in this chapter, or in this book, we read here previously that Timothy had been under the influence of his grandmother and his mother, and the teachings of his mother. And now we have Timothy under the preaching of Paul. And also, we have Timothy surrounded by a large support group. In verse 2 it says, "Thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." And I believe these witnesses may have been present when Timothy received his charge to preach. But nevertheless, we see the Christian influence and the teaching that Timothy was exposed to and the support of many witnesses. And I believe one of the reasons that Timothy could entrust or commit, that he could pass on the torch, was because he had given a listening ear to instruction. He had been taught. And Paul was persuaded that this same unfeigned faith that dwelt in Timothy's grandmother and his mother also could be in his life. And Timothy could then pass it on to others. And so we see in this verse the importance of listening and we see the importance of listening and also of entrusting, of committing and passing the torch on to other people, to those coming behind us. And I believe this morning a good soldier will strive for an unbroken chain of faithfulness through example and through teaching. And it's very sad as we think of family and friends, and we see them coming up in godly homes. I could go back and I could list various people, friends, people from my church, who have grown up in conservative settings and have simply disregarded it and went out. And as time goes on and you see where their children end up, and it's devastating, and it's hard to bring those people back. God help us to teach the good things we hear to our children and to the younger generation coming along so that faithfulness will continue. And so I asked a question this morning. Are you listening to the teachings of the Word of God? Do you have an ear open to directives? Can you be like Timothy, who has learned from his grandmother and his mother? Who are the influences in your life that have made a contribution to your life? Are we listening so we can be teaching? Are we passing the torch to the next generation? It's a question for us to consider. A good soldier commits what he hears to faithful men. I have a few more quotes. Physical combat, aim to weaken others, but spiritual combat aims to strengthen others. We also notice that physical combat weakens self, but spiritual combat strengthens self. See, there's opposites there. Number three, a good soldier endures hardness as a good soldier. Think about a soldier going to battle. He gives up his family. He gives up his home. He endures difficult weather. He's hungry sometimes. He might have a lot of pain. He puts his health at jeopardy. He puts his life at risk, all for physical combat. A soldier might receive so much training and so much stress to build up his body. He may be exhausted to the point that he feels like he's going to die. A soldier is willing to take this commitment for the sake of his pride in his country. This morning we're talking about Christians. We're talking about a spiritual warfare. As Christians, our commitment is to Christ. Our battles are spiritual. And we could ask the question this morning, what are some of the hardships that we may have to endure to be a good soldier? And the list could be long. But we can face difficulties. We can face opposition from the ungodly. Maybe we have hardships. There's little responsibilities that take away from our family and our work. Maybe it's the criticism that we receive from other people. Maybe we are hungry and tired at times, trying to help people. The cares of life and the weight of dealing with the grip of Satan in others' lives as we help them win the battle. Maybe we spend time in prayer and fasting. And these things can be rewarding, but they take a toll on the body, the hardships that we may bear. And Paul admonishes Timothy
to endure hardship as a good soldier. This is going to be part of your lot in life. As you know, Paul was a great teacher because he suffered much hardship, and he accepted it with a good attitude. Even in this chapter, we see that. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. Verse 10, wherefore I endure all things. See, he was facing something, wasn't he? He was teaching Timothy that in order to be a good soldier, he would need to be willing to suffer hardship. And in the end, it would bring good results. You see that in verse 10. I do these things, verse 10b, that they may also obtain salvation. It was for the good of others, which is in Christ Jesus and eternal glory. And also verse 12, if we suffer, we shall reign with him. See, there's something it does for us. And so this morning, as we think of enduring hardness for a good soldier, I just want to challenge us to guard against the mentality that the Christian life is a life of ease and happiness and should not cause us any inconvenience. That is a worldly and ungodly concept. So this morning, what are you willing to endure so you can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you willing to endure hardness? A good soldier endures hardness. I have a quote. Physical combat needs one to be strong outwardly, but the spiritual combat needs one to be strong inwardly. See the difference between the physical and the spiritual? Number 4, a good soldier entangles himself not with the affairs of the world, and we see this in verse 4. I'd like to read from the commentary. It is well remarked by someone, I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name, on this passage that the legionary soldiers among the Romans were not permitted to engage in husbandry, merchandise, mechanical employments, or anything that might be inconsistent with their calling. I have also from another commentary on this passage, this is always a condition in being a soldier. He gives up his own business during the time for which he is enlisted and devotes time to the service of his country. The farmer leaves his plow and the mechanic his shop, the merchant his store, and the student his books, and the lawyer his brief, and neither of them expect to pursue these things while engaged in service to their country. And so we see this morning that the concern of this verse is that earthly entanglements may distract us from being a good soldier. And I asked a question this morning. I asked a question, what would Timothy have been tempted to entangle himself with? I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure. But even the greater question is, what could we entangle ourselves with from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? What would keep us? Now, we could give a list. Maybe it could be politics. It could be news. It could be business. It could be sports. It could be entertainment. It could be work. It could be hobbies. It could be women. It could be drugs. It could be addictions. It could be pleasure. It could be hunting. And the list can go on of the things that can take our attention to the point that we stop warring the spiritual war battle, spiritual combat. So we have many opportunities to distract ourselves. Well, the only way a soldier can be dedicated to his commander is to free himself from all other distractions or engagements in personal affairs and sell himself as a servant to his captain. And sometimes we wish to do great things. Maybe we wish we'd have more money to give. Maybe we wish we'd have more time for the cause of Christ, but sometimes we may neglect to free ourselves from those little entanglements that keep us from warring the spiritual warfare. But entanglements will hinder us from being a focused soldier. And so this morning I asked a question, as we think of not entangling ourselves with the affairs of the world, are you willing to give up the entanglements that hinder your combat? Are you willing to do that in order to be a good soldier? Have you surrendered your body as a living sacrifice, meat for the Master's use? I'd like to turn to Hebrews chapter 12. There's a few verses that really put it well. The Bible has a way of just writing it just right. Hebrews chapter 12 and 2. And then we'll come back again to our text. Okay, I want to start at, maybe I have this verse written wrong down. Let's start at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are come past with so great a cloud of witness, this is what I'd like. Let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Sometimes we might want to just give up our sin, but what are the weights? What are the weights? That's more challenging. Give up every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. A good soldier doesn't entangle himself with affairs of this world. That takes away his focus off of being a soldier. Number 5, a good soldier pleases him who hath chosen him. We also find this in verse 4, and I know the point I just had ties very directly with this, but I'd like to look at it a little more from the positive perspective. The sole purpose of a good soldier is to please his commander. He will do anything to serve his captain. And the sole purpose of a Christian is to please Jesus, his captain. I like the word chosen in the verse because it implies that Jesus has personally chosen us to be his soldier. Can you believe that? You're important. I want you to be my soldiers, not someone else. It's us personally. And it gives us a sense of security as well as responsibility to Christ. And as we consider our responsibility to Christ, I ask the question, how can we please Jesus? How can we please Jesus? And I believe that Jesus was our example. He is the model for Christian soldiers. Love, servanthood, and total resistance to Satan. Jesus didn't bow to Satan when he came and tempted him, whether he was, what was it, hungry for 40 days? You would feel quite vulnerable at that time, wouldn't you? He didn't bow to Satan's temptations. Nor did he call 12 legions of angels to rescue him from the cross. He could have, but he didn't. Why didn't he do that? Because he loved his Father, and he wanted to do the Father's will. You know, I believe our passion is determined by the love we have for Jesus. And sometimes we say, well, what do I have to do? Do I have to do that? But how about thinking like this? What can I do for you, Jesus? What can I do to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not about how tough we are, but rather how committed and passionate we are to do the will of God. And so this morning, I asked a question, how much do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? And are you doing the Father's will? I have another quote. Physical combat thrives on pride and justice, but spiritual combat
thrives on humility and forgiveness. So different. A good soldier pleases him who hath chosen him. Number 6, a good soldier strives for the crown lawfully. We find this in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. A good athlete must play by the rules. If he wants to receive the prize, if he wants to win, Christians likewise must follow the directives of their captain, Jesus, to win the reward of the crown. And we could ask the question, how would we strive unlawfully? And I want you to think about at least two different passages. One is Matthew 7, 21 and verses 21 and 23. The account of the people who thought they had done so much for the Lord Jesus. They had done so many wonderful works, at least they thought they had. And what did Jesus say to them? I never knew you. What a sad picture. I guess they thought they had played by the rules, but when it came down to it, they hadn't. I never knew you. We could look at John 10, and we can have the picture there of Jesus being the door, but for some reason, not everybody wants to come into that door. They want to climb over the wall, and they want to try to sneak in, and, you know, you get the picture. Thieves and robbers climbing up some other way, other than through the door, striving unlawfully. And so we see that those verses give a pretense, which is an outward attempt by self to get God's blessing without an inward change. It's not going to work. But you know, the temptation remains for us to think that somehow we can cheat God and still get the good end of the deal, still get the reward. My dear brothers and sisters, this morning we need a guard against the compromise to Scripture for our advantage. And Timothy could have been tempted to lay aside the form of sound doctrine. Why? To make an appeal to the critics, to get their favor. Paul tells Timothy that a good soldier doesn't cheapen Christianity. A good soldier of Christ is more concerned about eternity than his reputation, gain, pleasure on earth. I like to read the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. He tells us the right way to win. 1 Corinthians 9, I like to read verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we, the spiritual battle, an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And we see there Paul warning of a right way to fight and a wrong way, a right way and a wrong way to run. And he gives us the assurance that each person has the potential to run. Unlike a physical race, one is a winner. But in the spiritual race, we can all strive for the incorruptible crown in the right way. And so I asked a question this morning, are you fighting for the right things the right way? I have a quote, physical combat aims to establish a temporary kingdom, while a spiritual combat aims to establish an eternal kingdom. Number 7. A good soldier must be first partaker of the fruits of his labors. We see that in verse 6. And I suppose we could take this different ways, but I think we see here perseverance. A farmer must work hard before he sees the fruit of his labors. You can't expect to get a harvest if you don't plant anything, right? Not more than weeds. They seem to come up somehow. Perseverance. This verse could speak regarding perseverance. What are the motives of a person to accomplish a big job? Well, part of it is the reward of accomplishment, right? You know, Timothy may have felt overburdened with his new responsibility and seen little fruit from his labors. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to fulfill his calling, even when it feels hopeless and unsuccessful. Because the fruit can only come after the work's done. And Paul could identify with this because he was imprisoned. And in verse 9, what does he say? I am bound. I'm in prison. I'm in chains. I'm in this hole. But he said, the word of God isn't bound. That can still keep going. And in many cases, our efforts and our labors seem insignificant. Do you ever feel like that? And we like to gauge by our fruit or success. And we become quickly discouraged when nobody notices or when we don't see results. But the Bible gives us promises regarding labors. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Isaiah 55:11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. Not necessarily maybe what I please, but what it pleases for God. And it shall prosper in the thing wherein I sent it. Matthew 13:23, but he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. Not all labors bring the same amount. And so this morning we can count on having days that we may feel discouraged about our accomplishment. But let's remember that a good soldier will perform his duties, whether they seem to be making a difference or not. He just keeps working. He keeps doing his thing. But remember, the fruit of our labors will make a difference. And we will know, and in the end, we will know, we will gain the reward, whether our success rate seems high or low, because our reward is not based on the fruit of our success. A good soldier must first be partaker of the fruits of his labor. I have another quote. Physical combat is a service for a time, but spiritual combat is a calling for a lifetime. This morning, those are a few of my thoughts as we think of, or God's thoughts, as we think of fighting the spiritual warfare. My dear brethren, keep pressing on. Be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be worth it all. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.